Is the PO the boss of everything? Is the product owner the manager, the team lead? No, not exactly. Not really at all. The product owner is many things, but the boss is not one of them. One thing about the product owner is that product owner wears a lot of hats. Today I'm going to talk about three of those upwards of 30,000 hats that a product owner wears. And keep in mind, there are a lot of things that the product owner is. And a lot of hats that they wear, but these are three of the hats that I think a good product owner should wear. They're the basis of the rest of the fluff and the stuff that comes along with the duties of being a product owner. So hang tight, buckle up. Let's get to Planet Product Owner. Today we're talking about three of the hats that the product owner wears. The first hat that I'd like to talk about today is the hat of being a relator. While it's not really a requirement to be a technical guru, it's certainly helpful if you understand the high-level concepts of the technologies used so you can better understand what will and won't work. You know, when the business is asking for something, especially when you're asking for the what, which that's your thing, the what is your thing, the how belongs to the team. If you give the team half of a problem to solve, they're going to solve half of the problem. So understanding some of the potential gaps in influence and particularly of knowledge is really important to get ahead of when you put the relator hat on. This is why elaboration and collaboration is so important. I really like the Three Amigos sessions using Gherkin or behavior-driven development techniques, but if you're not using that yet, that's okay. We're still in fundamental mode here for product owners, so we'll get to that later. It is really about the collaboration and the conversation. Those three C's that we talk about on the cards, those can be misunderstood if one is to simply read it. You should be the one taking the lead on the explanation and listening to the team to understand the pushback or the uncertainties with what you're asking for. And sometimes I find it helpful just to relate with specific examples. That can be challenging, but think outside the box using these analogies or pictures, something like that. I love using PowerPoint or a whiteboard to try to explain the whole problem. And remember, kids, we sell it in PowerPoint, but we do it in Excel. That's just kind of the rule. Now, some of these tools that you have out there to make something visible is, can be leveraged. It doesn't mean that you're a genius master artist. It doesn't mean that you're the most creative guy in the world. It doesn't mean that you're the one who can go out there and design a site today, but it does mean that you can just leverage that to paint a picture. Remember what I told you about crayons and pencil and paper. Relating is important. So the idea is using those as an example and relating that is really important. You remember the last episode when we talked about drawing up the diagram of how it's going to work or how you would see the flow going. Like a high-level design accompanied with a job aid of some sort to start with the start, right? That's what I'm talking about. I want you to think of this as an opportunity to cross-train your dev team on the business process and the business model. Don't simply take it for granted that they understand. They may not understand a payment system. They may not understand why audit has to work this way or why compliance has to work that way. They may understand the domain and the technical layers, but do they really understand the value and the intent of why we're solving the problem or capitalizing on the opportunity? Relating is important. Use these relating images as examples. And, of course, you can connect the dots and make a hypothetical scenario. What I've done in the past is I've created a hypothetical scenario in which members of my team are the business owner, the customer, the reviewer, the approver, the stakeholder, the reports reader, whatever. And wearing that relator hat means that you can relate. This is more than just drawing a picture, though. This is empathy, what we're talking about with empathy. So sometimes while I'm just introducing the overall concept with the team, I'll interrupt myself and just start kind of saying, all right, Joe, you own a widget making company, and Jason, you own a business that buys the widgets for a bigger product. I want to buy the product from Jason so I can satisfy a need or provide some service, whatever the situation is. Now, once you start working through that scenario with the examples, the next question is for Jason, Joe, Katie, whoever it is on your team. And it's important that you ask it in this way, even if you already know the answer. You may already know the answer, okay? But you want to get perspective, and that's what this collaboration is about. So here's the question that I would ask. I would say, okay, if you were the business owner, or if this were your business, or if this were your role in the scenario, first, what are some of the things that would satisfy you with this ask? And what are some of the things that would disappoint you with this ask? You know, what is it that we're asking for? You can start driving out a lot of your exception paths. By the way, exception paths, happy paths, that's another episode. But you start driving out these happy paths and these exception paths as a team just by starting the conversation from a user perspective. This role playing is really important, and it feeds into the reason why we write user stories. I've asked groups before, why do we write user stories? And you'd be surprised the number of product owners who can't really give me a clear answer on that. You should probably know that, right? It's a first-person look at what the user feels, sees, does, touches, tastes, steps, whatever it is, right? Getting that first-person look into what we're doing and why. And remember, the why is really important. I'll go into that in a minute. But by doing that, we get to the heart, really, of the first-person narrative and what their goals are. We have to empathize that. We put our customer hat on because we want to make sure we're minding Scott's three rules on solutions delivery. Oh, wait, I haven't done that one yet. Maybe that's another episode too. God, I got to write this down. Remember that stories can sometimes be small, thereby giving a small portion of the full problem that we want to solve. You may forget a story. You may forget some of the dissensions, some of the objections, some of the, you know, the anticipation that you might have otherwise thought of if you had drafted this thing out first and started this collaboration. The idea here is that what we're trying to do is teach thinking patterns again. All right. Start at the start. Start at the start. Start at the start of the thing before you take that feature, and then you explain it to everybody like they're 3 years old. And remember the why. Remember I said the why is important? Well, it is. It's because sometimes the what alone tends to prescribe the way that we do it. We don't want that. That's not the best approach. Now, sometimes, yeah, it's pretty cut and dry, right? But if you get into something a little bit more complex, a little more complicated, what we want to be able to do is describe what we want, and you as a product owner, you have to make sure that the why is there so that that's uncovered and discovered and visible to the team, because your stories and your path could be simplified to a degree that you would have never guessed. You were just unable to see, really, that they could turn that for you and help you in a way, because you really already had your mind made up on the, you know, kind of the path and how we were going to do this. Now, sometimes, again, you got to do it the way it's prescribed. But I would just be really careful about decoupling the prescribed way and the described way, you know, of what we're doing, right? So remember, we're teaching thinking patterns here for product owners and for your teams. Explain it from the problem to solve for the user or the business, or the opportunity we have to improve, sell more, buy more, whatever it is that we're going to improve, or decrease, increase, whatever, right? Look at it from that standpoint rather than the standpoint of here's what we have to do to solve it. When you start relating the need to your team, you begin to start seeing that the light's coming on for them, and that's really what you want. This is going to help your facilitation skills. This is going to help your communication skills. This is going to help you understand better the process yourself, and it's also going to help make sure that your team has an active part in joining in on the win, which is, again, really healthy for your team. You don't want a checklist development team. You want a team that can both challenge you in the business as well as solve the problems or capitalize on the opportunities in the leanest way possible with the highest quality that's available. So there you are, Relator. Now, let's look at another hat that you're going to wear, shall we? So we looked at the first hat that the product owner wears, and again, this is out of the 30,000 hats that the product owner wears, and that is that of the relator. The second thing I think is important that you acknowledge that you have a hat to wear is that you're a feedback medium. You're a channel for the feedback. You're the feedback machine. One of the things that I try to coach new product owners on is feedback. That feedback loop is critical with Scrum, with your customers, with your business partners, with everybody, with Agile in general. Staying lean, really, learning fast is the key, right? And that collaboration, that self-organizing team, all those fundamental components that we talked about that are purposes and outcomes that Agile supports and promotes, that Scrum promotes and supports. Encouraging this feedback is really important because for those devs who just want to, they just want to work from that checklist. And we know these developers, right? They want you to tell them what to do from a list, have it prioritized by somebody else. We find that they're not really going to be that effective on a Scrum team, right? And maybe you've got some team members like that now. We got to get them out of that. We got to get that self-organized thing. It's just not the behavior that you're looking for to accomplish the self-organized goal, cross-functional mode that you want to get into that groove. So let's look, let's have a look at your motives when you're speaking and delivering the presentation or giving the feedback. It's important, particularly during retros. And if the team is showing your work during the sprint, wait, the team is showing the work during the sprint, right? Not just on the last day, product owner. You gotta have more frequent checks than that. I mean, unless you have a one-day sprint, which I know teams who have had one-day sprints, 1 to 3. But if you're doing 2-week sprints and you're waiting until 10 minutes before your sprint demo for the team to show you that story, or on the sprint demo, you're probably in trouble. So that's part of this feedback that we're talking about. You got to let them know you're on the right track, just like you would with anybody else, right? The feedback that you're giving, the motives, is it to dictate an action plan? Or is it to try to get them to think for themselves and understand where we're going, what we're doing, and why? You got to be on your toes. You got to think ahead through some things in order to provide and get the right feedback you're looking for. You want to have some kind of takeaway that leads to a conclusion in order to act. That's what we're trying to do with the feedback loop. Let me give you a couple examples to help explain this. As a product owner on a new team, I want to set precedent on the quality of work so that I can help the team better understand the definition of done. That's a pretty easy user story. From my perspective, that's what I want. I want, as a product owner with a new team, I want to set a precedent on the quality of the work so I can help them better understand the definition of done. It's not so I can improve the quality. It's so that we can set the expectations on what that quality is. Does that make sense? So now I've explained the why. So in the beginning, if you're starting up a new team or the team is all new to each other or it's just new to Agile, new to Scrum, new to Safe, new to whatever it is, you really have to deliver this feedback as a critic, not in a critic or personal way. Not in a critical or personal way, I should say. Remember, everybody's on a different part of the journey. Everybody has different levels of understanding. They have different learning styles, which is important for you to keep in mind. If within your team definition of done, you all agree to no major or critical defects, but one is found, you have to explain why you won't accept the story and why it's considered major and not minor. You can't just simply say it, oh, that's a major defect. I can't accept this story. You got to tell them why. Because you didn't close the feedback loop with them, and they're going to wash, rinse, and repeat next time, right? Or they're just going to get huffy and mad, and they're not going to produce for you next time. Here's another example. As a hostile business partner, see what I did there? I want to critique everything that the team is doing so I can remind them of who is in charge exactly. This is another reason why we want to make sure that feedback loop is on track and it's open. Here's a clue for you. I don't treat hostile business partners any differently than I do calm ones. I'll tell you why. I have a process. This is what I do. I still have a weekly work session set with whoever it is in that business partner role during that effort. I set it weekly with them for 30 minutes to review what the team did, what the team's doing now, and what we might do next. I'm really just making sure that we're on the same page here. That's why feedback is important, because you can't possibly know you're doing the right thing unless you have that feedback. And doing the right things right is critical to a successful lean delivery model. If you wait and demo the story to the hostile business partner on sprint demo day, it's not going to go well for you. Been there, done that, guys. So when you're providing consistent feedback and then you're getting them to affirm the positive, that's another episode too, by the way. God, I got to write this down, man. But when you're providing consistent feedback and getting them to affirm the positive, meaning they're agreeing with the solution that you're providing, and how can they not if you're doing this frequently enough and learning fast, then you're really gaining an alliance and you're gaining traction with your lean delivery. You don't have to like each other. You just have to get the job done, get it done right, and get it done well. Winning over an alliance through these kinds of sessions usually works well for you in the end, because you get to cross-train. You get to introduce some of these concepts. You get to get them out of a project mindset into an agile mindset, which is going to be critical to get their buy-in. So just remember to cross-train on your Agile or Scrum processes whenever you can, and mainly when you're working with your business partners. Don't forget to sell your team. So we said you're a relator of examples. You're a feedback machine, Mr. and Ms. Product Owner. You're awesome. I think the third thing that is an important hat for us to recognize that we wear is that we're a catalyst. Product owners are catalysts. The work truly starts with you. Now look, this still doesn't make you the boss. It doesn't make you the manager. It doesn't make you the team that I'm over, okay? You're simply there to ensure the team is working on a prioritized list of things that are asked for and ensuring that they understand that the what in the scheme of the feature or the product or the work, what that is to deliver. It starts with the product backlog. And remember, I've already told you about the triangle we want to see, right? You really have to start living through the perspective of critical path. You have to motivate the team to live out that purpose and walk in it every day. You're the catalyst for that. If you just give them the answers, they're not going to grow. Let's think about your typical developer, shall we? And I would love to talk with some of my buddies about this, because I know they all agree. We've already had these conversations anyway, even my developer friends. Typical developer, they got great ideas. They want to solve problems. They're a little ADD, sometimes procrastinate because sometimes overanalyze how to start. But once they get going, man, it's hard to stop. If they know what the mission is, they're really hard to get to stop, especially if they're enjoying it, if they're having fun with it, and they're working through their problems. So sparking their imagination with a good feature, story, task, whatever the work type is that you use, serves as a catalyst to get them going. Once you get through that collaboration, then suddenly they understand how they can mock up some data to test a theory in what is to be delivered after you get them started with the vision of what needs to happen end to end. Start those conversations. I usually ask questions like, hey, what do you think if we could, you know, or here's the problem customers are telling us, or I think if we did this, we could decrease, increase, reduce, cut back, improve, score higher, whatever, you know. You know, if we do that stuff, then we're keeping their ideas sparked and we're keeping them engaged and keeping them happy, because, again, they're part of the team. They're celebrating in the win. But, you know, it's not just about sparking an idea for your dev team. You can do that with your internal business partners as well. And that's something that we tend to overlook as product owners. Sometimes our business partners and our project partners, they don't have the insight that you do. So when they try to submit the how to you through the what, which happens a lot. I know I'm probably the only person in the world that's ever had a business partner describe or prescribe the how, when really their job is to tell me the what. When you start teaching them more as well, if you're able to help them think through what reaches their goals within the systems by questioning just that, like, what is the goal? Of course, the goal may not have a lot of value in it, and you just have to kind of roll with it. That's where the why comes in. But over time, as you continue to press forward to meet their goals and cross-train them on the value in that situation or in that solution, they really have no choice but to start opening up to the idea that leaner is cleaner and cleaner is meaner, right? I mean, you're not going to win all of those battles but that's not a battle that you have to fight all the time either. Sometimes it just is what it is, but people will likely be more willing to buy into your lean leadership once you prove out a few things first. So at the end of this, you have to start the conversation with the catalyst hat. Other things that come to mind that you really have to start as a product owner, you have to start investing in your career. You have to start checking out resources that are available. Read, watch, listen, experiment, try things. Without pioneering something that's new and effective, you're going to get stuck in the factory mode, and that's not what this journey is about. So be the catalyst for the team, be the catalyst for your business partners, be the catalyst for yourself. So I think those are three hats that are really important to acknowledge as product owners that we got to put on, and sometimes we've got to put them on all at the same time. Some of them we got a little break between between wearing them, wipe the sweat off. But I hope that was helpful for you to listen to today. So let's see if we can get back off the planet here. This is the parting shot or Scott shot or whatever you want to call it. Really, you need to wear a lot of hats. That just comes with the territory. Keep this team in your focus. Emphasize through consistent practice that the team matters. If you get a team and business partners to buy into what you're selling, nothing's going to get in your way. Relating the problem or the opportunity to them will really prove to carry a lot of weight in how they solve it and how you grow as a team, which is really at the forefront of how you make this thing most successful. Teaching them about what they should be understanding will actually drive the conversations needed, and it'll clear the air of any miscommunication pretty quickly. You don't want to go back and rework. Understand that you're a catalyst. Everybody's looking for some kind of leader and leadership. You have a chance to be that leader without being the boss.